Luke chapter 24 records about something that happened to Jesus' disciples after, you know, Jesus resurrected. Today, I would like to preach about the thing that happened to the two disciples who were going to Emmaus. Luke 24, verse 13 says, "And behold, two of them were going that very day to a village named Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem." That very day was the day when our Lord resurrected. I mean, it was the day that had a rumor that the grave and the cave where our Jesus was buried was empty. Jesus died on the cross, and he was buried in the cave. And there was a rumor that Jesus resurrected. So these two men heard those rumors, heard the rumor. And they were on their way to Emmaus. And they were talking about, you know, Jesus and what they did, and they were talking about their opinions about the rumor. They had that kind of a conversation. I believe they were from Emmaus, I guess. These two were not, you know, 12 disciples, but, you know, they followed Jesus. So they were disciples. And they were talking about what happened in Jerusalem recently. And then a stranger, you know, talked to them. And he asked them, "What kind of conversation you got?" Well, actually, this man was resurrected Jesus. He was walking with them, but, you know, they couldn't recognize Jesus who resurrected. So they said, "We thought Jesus would, you know, redeem Israel, but, you know, he died on the cross. However, some women said, you know, they saw Jesus' cave empty, and, you know, his disciples went there and found that cave, you know, empty." You know, they were talking about these things, and then they talked to that man, you know. "The cave was empty," the lady said. Then they asked him, "This happened in Jerusalem. You didn't know that?" They asked Jesus back. Well, disciples gave up everything to become Jesus' disciples. They put their entire hope on Jesus. They thought everything they gave up would be, you know, compensated later. However, Jesus died in vain. So they got no reason to stay in Jerusalem. So they were going back to Emmaus, I guess, you know, their hometown. Then Jesus, who resurrected, walked with them and explained the Bible, the scripture. And during the supper, you know, he broke the bread and he blessed them. Then they realized that this strange man is just the resurrected Jesus. And they couldn't stay in Emmaus. They went back to Jerusalem and met with 11 disciples. That's the contents. That's the story of Luke chapter 24. And there are things that we should understand as we look back on ourselves. First, they went back to their hometown. Why were they traveling from Jerusalem to Emmaus? I mean, why are they heading back to their hometown? Well, the reason is that they think Jesus died. They thought everything was over. They thought they got no reason to follow Jesus. They thought we got no hope anymore. Jesus died. That was what they thought. However, Jesus said in Matthew 17, verse 22 and 23, the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and he will be raised on the third day. But they couldn't remember this, Jesus said. They thought that Jesus would, save Israel by fighting back to the Roman Empire. They thought, Jesus would be the king and defeat the Roman Empire for Israel. That's what they expected. About a week ago, when Jesus entered the city of Jerusalem, there were so many people, cheering, Jesus up and then said, Hosanna and Hosanna and welcome to him. So they thought, it's about time for Jesus to become the king. They had that kind of great expectation. However, a few days later after that, their expectation was completely broken when Jesus died on the cross. Can you imagine how they felt despondent when Jesus died on the cross? Can you imagine that? Well, I think we can understand their heart. Well, they felt despondent, which means what kind of expectation they had for Jesus. I mean, the reason and their purpose of following Jesus made them different in the feeling. There were many kinds of people who followed Jesus. If you read John chapter 6, verse 26, it says, Jesus answered them and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled." And there were people who want to be healed. In the time of, in the initial time of the church, people heard about, news about the senior pastor, and so many sick people came to church. And there wasn't a prayer center back then. So here and there in the sanctuary, there were, sick people lying down in the sanctuary. I heard them, and you heard them too. They received senior pastor's prayer, and they got healed, and they maintained Christian lives, and they went back home. They left the church. Not all of them, kept their faith. Some people left right after they were healed. Some people, stayed in the church for a while, and they left. So in the days of Jesus, people followed Jesus to be healed by him. But not all of them followed Jesus till the end. Some others, like the teachings of Jesus, they thought Jesus would be the political leader who would save Israel. So Luke 24:21 tells us, why those two disciples followed Jesus. It says, "We were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, it is the third day since these things happened." So they got reason to follow Jesus. However, when Jesus died on the cross, they were too much shocked. They were terribly shocked. Since they got, high hopes on him, their disappointment would be so grave, right? So they were called disciples. However, they left Jerusalem and they were back to Emmaus. When people face some difficult and harsh things, they give up everything. They want to give up and they want to go back home. Just want to go home. All I got to do is just go home, right? Which means they didn't do their best. Or in any given situation, they can go back to where they used to be. That's what that means when they said, if something happens, I can go home. Think about the Israelites who escaped from Egypt. They were freed from, you know, slaves. They were humming. They were heading to the land where there was milk and honey flowing. But they were walking the wilderness day after day. They couldn't find the land that they were waiting for. So they got tired, and they started to complain against Moses. In devotion service for Canaan, young people, in Light and Salt and Students Mission in 2015, senior pastor said this. The reason the people could not go into Canaan land directly was due to their unbelief. Not knowing that fact so well, they didn't like the fact that they couldn't go into the land right away. You know, they didn't want to wander around in the wilderness, and that's why they put the blame on God and others. Just like the people who wish to go back to Egypt, you know, you might also try to find reasons to take the worldly things again. If your fullness of spirit is not as much as before, and if things of the world come into your sight, you first have to look back at your religious life, your Christian life. You gotta check whether or not your fervor for casting off sins has cooled down, or whether your worship and faithfulness have become mere, you know, formalities. But in many cases, if they lose the grace, they easily put the blame on others or the circumstances rather than looking back on themselves. They don't dare directly complain against God, but they secretly have hard feelings against Him, against God. In such moments, if there are people like Korah, they pay attention to them, you know, because they want to go away that fulfills their desires. You know, they listen to the words of the wicked people. So they want to believe the words of temptation rather than trying to follow goodness. Even though they experienced 100 miracles of God, if one thing does not agree with their thoughts, they completely forget about that 100 miracles. Even if they remember, they just think it was coincidence. That's the attribute of the flesh. That's the word of truth, isn't it? Senior pastor said this 4 years ago. I think you gotta listen to him again. For John 2, verses 15 and 16 says, "Do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world." So if you go back to the world again, giving up on your way to sanctification, you cannot say you love God. You know, because of the, you know, disappointment or despondent. And if you think about, if you remember what you like, what you used to like before, then your hard work so far will be vanished. No, those who come to Daniel prayer meeting every day say this, you know. You know, once they stop coming to Daniel prayer meeting and try to come back to life again, it's hard to go back to their fervent prayers before. Last summer, there was a member who went to family trip. You know, in a few days, you know, they stopped coming to Daniel prayer meeting because they went to vacation. So he said it's hard to come back to the normal status in Daniel prayer meeting. Well, piling up faith cannot be done overnight. However, destroying that pile of faith can happen in a moment. So, when that hope vanishes, it's pretty easy to go back to what you used to be. What I'm saying is, if you are captivated by that feeling of despondent, you know, it makes you feel troubled. But you got no reason to feel despondent. Do you feel that despondent? You don't need to. Because Father God is always the same. Our senior pastor is still praying for us. And he is still praying for the will of God. You got no reason to lose your hope. So you got no reason to feel despondent or disappointed. Think about two disciples who were on their way to the Emmaus and look at yourself. It is a fact that we met senior pastor, listened to the words of holiness, and our hearts turned into the truth. We came to have faith. We were given hope. That's the fact. The fact is that we came to understand how precious sacrifice it was, the death of Jesus Christ, the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. Most of all, it is a fact that we can understand the providence of Father God. Two disciples on their way to Damascus, on their way to Emmaus, followed Jesus because Jesus was good. However, they didn't learn the providence of Father God. However, we do know the providence of Father God. We know how Father God created everything in the universe, how He has cultivated human beings, why Jesus came to this earth in the flesh, why He had to take the cross, what will come true through our senior pastor. We know that. Most of all, what Father God is going to fulfill through this time. It is a fact that we know the love of Father God who fulfills the justice for us. In the past, our faith grew up. We came to have discernment because of that. However, in the past, we learned things from the people that we thought we were ahead of us. However, they were not what we used to think, so we didn't follow them because we could discern. So, we know what is right and what is wrong. We can discern it. We can tell the truth. That's how Father God has cultivated us. So, we should never turn back and go back. All we gotta do is go forward. Now, second, these two disciples were rebuked by the Lord. They heard Jesus resurrected. They heard what women said. They knew. Jesus' disciples went to the empty cave. However, they left Jerusalem to go back to Emmaus. They didn't know. They didn't recognize Jesus who resurrected. Why? Why didn't they recognize? Luke 24, verse 16 says, their eyes were prevented from recognizing Him. Of course, Jesus resurrected, and His outlook was a little bit changed, so they couldn't recognize. That's the reason, maybe. However, they were walking with the Lord. They were having conversation with Him. So it's natural for them to recognize Him. However, their eyes were blinded, so they couldn't recognize the Lord. You gotta be careful about being blinded without your knowing. You gotta be very careful. Mary Magdalene, who was the first man who met the resurrected Lord, she couldn't recognize the Lord at first. However, when the Lord called her by her name, Maria, now she recognized Him right away. So she was completely different from these two disciples. You can see the difference, right? Now, the important thing is, Luke 24, 17 says, they stood still looking sad. They had high hopes in Jesus Christ, but He was died on the cross, that they thought their hopes were gone. This made them sad. They got greatly disappointed. However, if they had believed in what Jesus said, they should have recognized Jesus. They heard Jesus. They heard Jesus. They followed Jesus. They should have recognized Jesus. However, they were disappointed. They were blinded. But they could see nothing. Since they were blinded, even though the Lord was walking with them beside them, they couldn't recognize Him. We are the same. We should not be blinded. We got to open our eyes. We have received grace from Father God. We heard His grace. We heard His truth. Now, because something happened, because of shocking news, you were disappointed? And you look sad? And your eyes are blinded? Well, no. Be careful. Be on the alert, okay? If you're shocked like that, you know, you will be naturally blinded. Once you're blinded, then you cannot see the works of God. You cannot feel it. You gotta remember this. Since they were blinded, they couldn't recognize Jesus who was walking with them beside them. So, Jesus rebuked them when they didn't believe the resurrection of the Lord. Luke 24, verses 25 and 26, the Lord said to them, O foolish men and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter His glory? And then He explained the scripture written by Moses and all the prophets. And they were all written for Jesus. Jesus explained to them. They were slow to believe. Why? They couldn't believe it completely. They have their own thoughts. They have their own idea. That's why they were slow to believe in the Word of God. They were foolish. Why? Well, check your faith first. Some heard Jesus' word and they left Jesus, saying, these words are difficult to understand. There were people like that. Well, actually, these two people followed Jesus even after there were people who left Jesus already. In other words, they survived. However, they were disappointed and they looked sad. Why? Now think of yourself. You who are here tonight are survivors from the fierce spiritual battles. You have discerned the things well by the truth. You endured. You trust the senior pastor. You love this church. You pray to protect the church. However, look at yourself, whether you look sad and despondent. You gotta be, look at yourself in the mirror, okay? Look at yourself, whether you are not like what you used to be before. And think about this, whether Father God will be pleased with what you are now. Whether your faith is the faith that Father God wants from you, you gotta check it now. What is faith? Hebrews 11, verse 1 says, now faith is the assurance of the things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, and conviction of things not seen. You gotta believe that Father God is close to you. You gotta believe that Father God is with you. That's faith. Last Friday on that service, we heard about the goodness of Abraham. When I heard it, I received much grace. Whenever I heard about Abraham's faith, you know, it touches my heart. Abraham had that kind of faith. He obeyed when Father God told him to leave his household. Since then, he just who lived in God. Without faith, and he couldn't have done that like that. You know? Father God had a will for him. Father God had a plan for him. So he led them out. But if Abraham had not understood it or believed it, his life would have been full of worries and difficulties. However, Abraham's faith was perfect. It didn't change over time. It was beyond the common sense of man. However, he believed in the word of God. He became old, too old to give birth to a child, but he believed in the word of God. He believed that Father God would fulfill what he had said. In any given situation, his faith was not shaken. Only by faith, he walked for 10, 20, 25 years. Better than the rules of nature. Better than rules of the world. He believed in the word of God more and better. He was old. But when Father God said, "You are young," then he believed it because it is the word of God. He believed it. "You are young." When God said so, he believed it. Faith is not just the assurance of the things hoped for, but also the thing, the conviction of not sin, okay? The faith is not forgetting the grace of God, the works of God. Faith is to remember what God does or has done, and keeping it is the faith. When you heard the spiritual message from this church and experienced the power of God, your heart was burning, right? Especially because of the fact that you met the true shepherd, you felt at ease. You were so happy. That's the truth that will never change. How can it change? The past is there. It's there. So you cannot change. Your duty is to keep it. And faith is to believe that what you have believed would come true. You had high hopes for the blessing that you will receive once our senior pastor accomplished all the missions. So many people will come to this church. We will accomplish the grand sanctuary. You had this kind of hope. Now, what's going on? You say like this? Well, then you gotta remember that in the process of accomplishing all those things, we gotta cross the river, we gotta go over the mountains, we gotta so many things to overcome to make our hope come true. We gotta overcome in the many hardships. Jesus said they were foolish, they were slow. And he explained about Jesus, who was written in the Bible in great detail. Jesus is trying to give them true faith. Now, what these two people were short of? Why did Jesus say they were foolish and why they were slow? Jesus wants them to have true faith. What they were short of? Why were they foolish and slow? What was Jesus saying? We are the same. Okay? Jesus is telling us the truth to have true faith. What is the true faith? We gotta know. Now, Jesus said in verse 26 and 27, "Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter His glory?" When we heard it, we gotta have a burning heart. Let me tell you again. Jesus said, "Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter His glory?" He explained to them the things concerning Himself in all the Scriptures. Concerning Jesus Christ, it was written in the Bible. What's the core? The Christ should suffer these things, then He will enter His glory. That's the Bible. That's what the Bible says. Jesus explained it to them. Do you remember? Isaiah 53 verse 5 says, "He was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon Him, and by His scourging we are healed." And John 3 verse 14 says, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so much the Son of Man be lifted up." He said this. Jesus suffered. Of course, He suffered because of the evil of the sinners. But it became great justice so that all the believers can welcome the door of salvation. Now, it is natural to suffer. It is natural to suffer. And it is happening right now. Don't you know this? That's what Jesus said to them. God created man, and He is cultivating human beings. What's the purpose? That's the salvation of mankind. This is the moment of being, you know, that being fulfilled. Don't you know this? This was what He said to His two people. Now, it is so once they understand it, they would recognize that it is not time to feel despondent. Jesus was explaining that things written in the Bible are being fulfilled. When they heard Him, they finally understood it. Jesus said, "The Son of Man would come down to this earth and suffer on this earth." That will conclude the ministry of salvation. They realized it after they heard them. Then their hearts become burning. By the same token, we should not believe what we want to believe. We gotta believe and we gotta have faith that the Lord teaches us. To some degree, we gotta believe what we want, which means we want to be healed. We want to receive blessing. So we believed and we were healed and we received answers. However, we should not believe that Jesus that we believe is this Jesus. We should not lock down ourselves into that kind of boundary. We gotta reach the higher level, especially Manmin. Why? Because Manmin Church has the special duty for this end time. Father God has special providence for this church. That's why. We gotta reach a higher level. Why Father God want, what Father God wants from us? What's the providence that He has for us? We gotta understand it and we gotta accomplish it. Philippians 3:12 says, "Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus." It is time for us to understand even deeper things. That's the time. Romans 8:17 says, "If indeed we suffer with Him, so that we may also be glorified with Him." You want to be glorified, right? You would like to receive blessing. Now, but you gotta know that to receive that blessing, you gotta suffer. There is no discrimination, okay? You and I should suffer together to receive blessing, to receive glory. It is written in the Bible like this. You are in the middle of the time, middle of the process of receiving that suffering. You are in that middle right now. In this time around, are you going to complain about that suffering? Are you going to use your fleshly thoughts? You should not. If two disciples had known it before, they would not disappoint it. It's time when they faced with difficulties. They might have been ready for that suffering. My mother was the first man who accepted the Lord in my family. So she was greatly persecuted. And not long after she became Christian, a cow died in her house. So her parents said, because you went to church and my cow died. She was persecuted like this. However, her faith didn't shaken. Her faith grew stronger. And that persecution turned into blessing. One day, a packs of, bees came into the house. Even in the queen bees. Her family didn't know about the bees. And they started to raise bees. They started to collect honey. And then the boxes became, dozens and two dozens. And then, they got, wealth from it. And then all those, pigs and cows later have like some multiple, cows. Well, I figured out the price of, calf. And then the oxen is like, 300, but in the bull were about like 400 and 500. More expensive. But in her family, only the bulls were born in her family. So the news got out of the entire town. The village people said, "What's happening in their family?" Eventually, the whole her family became Christians. They were evangelized, and they went to heaven. And my siblings, all my family became Christians. They became pastors, elders, senior deaconesses. All my siblings became great Christians. All glory to God. The reason I'm telling you this is that if my mother had not had no, persecution, could she have experienced this kind of blessing? When the persecution came, if she had not overcome it, she could not have experienced this kind of blessing. I came to faith. I became pastor. I met senior pastor and doing this ministry. All thanks to prayer of my mother. So, persecutions and trials are followed. Naturally. But when you pass the well, you will receive glorious blessings. You gotta believe this. Light and darkness cannot coexist. So, when we believe in the Lord, persecutions surely follow. And in this kind of situation, we should not compromise with the darkness. But we gotta choose the light. We should not complain. Instead, we gotta go on with thanks. So, do you come to this church because you cannot find any other church that you can go to? Well, you gotta come to this church because this church is surely led by Father God. We chose the good thing, right? This is your choice, and it is rather good choice. You made a good choice. Why does it make you troubled? So, let me tell you this thing one more time. You don't need to worry about anything because what Father God planned for is being accomplished now. Instead of being disappointed or despondent, you gotta understand what is the will of Father God through us. Now, until when should we believe? Well, faith is to believe till the end. You believed in Senior Pastor, so you believe him till the end. Till the end. What is wrong to hold on to the Word of God and go on till the end? What is wrong? There is nothing wrong with the Word of God. That's our faith. Well, I think it's not right. If you say so, depending on the situation, I mean, there are people like that around us. Well, your faith should not be shaken like this. Abram received promises from Father God. Genesis 15 verse 5 says, Now look toward the heavens and count the stars. If you're able to count them, so shall your descendants be. Now, he got old, but he got no son. However, he believed, just as Romans 4:18 says, in hope against the hope, he believed so that he might become a father of many nations according to that which had spoken, so shall your descendants be. Now, but Genesis 22 verse 2 says, God said, take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. Well, what God says right now is something confusing. God said, I will make your descendants uncountable like stars in the sky. But what God says right now is quite opposite. What should I believe? If Abraham, you know, gives his son as an offering, he could not have lots of descendants. So, what should he do? Abraham might be in dilemma, right? Well, he could have justified himself by believing in what he wanted to believe. It's not something a genius can solve. This is the problem that can be solved only by good faith. But Abraham had good faith, and he solved this problem. Abram believed that God can save even the dead. So he obeyed. He gave his son. If Isaac died, Father God can save even the dead. Even if I give my son as offering, he can survive my son. He showed that kind of faith. He understood the heart of God, and he accomplished. That's the faith we gotta have. We believe that Father God truly accomplishes. Our eyes are not blinded. Our eyes are opened, and we can discern well. We made the choice that Father God accomplishes what he has said to us. We believe that Senior Pastor will soon come out, and things will be accomplished through him. There are people who are talking about reformation. Well, we are not saying it is wrong to correct something wrong. It's not wrong, okay? So, we can correct. We will correct what went wrong. However, if it is too big to handle, then we can handle it when Senior Pastor comes back. That's our faith. Abram's faith is our faith. Follow the heart of senior pastor is our faith. Those two disciples who followed Jesus didn't recognize Jesus. They were rebuked. They were called foolish and slow. But we should not receive that kind of rebuke. We gotta understand the heart of God like Abram did. We gotta have firm faith in God, just like Abraham did. Then, Father God will say, "Well done, my son. Well done, my daughter." I hope you can receive this praise from Father God. Third, we should understand, the third thing is that our eyes should be opened. The Bible explains the difference between the blinded and the brightened. Luke 24:16 says, "Their eyes were prevented from recognizing him." Now verse 31 says, "Their eyes were open and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight." When they were blinded, they couldn't recognize the Lord. But once their eyes were opened, they recognized the Lord. Now, how could their blinded eyes were opened? Their eyes were opened while listening to Jesus saying. Jesus was trying to go to his direction, but they wanted to listen to him more. So it was already sunset, you know. They asked him, you know, to stay together. So they got supper together, and then, you know, their eyes were opened. Verse 30 and 31 says, "When he had reclined at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed it, and breaking it, he began giving it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him." It is important to have opened eyes. You know, before then, their eyes were troubled and despondent. They looked sad, right? But suddenly, their eyes got opened and they recognized Jesus. Wow! This is our Jesus. Can't you imagine they were thrilled? Mami members have received this kind of grace. Their eyes were opened, then started to think over what happened on that day. When he explained the Bible, my hearts were burning. Were you? My heart felt the same. They confessed the same thing. It is true that Jesus resurrected. It is true that the ladies found the empty grave. What his disciples said was true. The resurrection Jesus was the promise of God. He already said so. The person we met on our way to Emmaus was Jesus. They recognized this. As their eyes opened, they could understand the situation, everything. And they could see the Lord right. The fact that they recognized Jesus is that they started to believe Jesus died for them. Now, what did you see from our Lord, from our senior pastor, from this church? All the works that are happening right now are the work of Father God. If your eyes are open, you can see that. Jesus died for us. Jesus suffered for us. His disciples didn't like that. However, once they heard Jesus, they realized that was the providence of God. They recognized it. They could believe that the door to eternal life is finally open. Why didn't we realize that? Because the fleshly thoughts, we were despondent. We looked sad. That's why the Lord told us, you know, foolish and we were slow. After they met Jesus, all the worries were gone. Once their eyes opened, they realized their worries are gone. It was the work of great twist. I don't need to be despaired. They got now new hope. They don't look sad anymore. They look joyful. Their hearts were burning. Brothers and sisters, your heart should be burning. That's what Father God wants from you. Hallelujah. Then these two disciples realized, his disciples who were hiding in Jerusalem. So they couldn't stay in Emmaus. So they were heading back to Jerusalem right away. It was late night, but they were not afraid. They ran with joy. Brothers and sisters, while you are listening to this message, wasn't your heart burning? Right. Our senior pastor will bring the work of great twist. He will wake up the Korean Christian community, accomplish the world mission. That will be accomplished. The Grand Sanctuary, which will be constructed by the kings around the world, will surely come true. Can you believe it? Where is the work of great twist? Where can it happen? When can it happen? When we have open eyes, it can happen. Not when we have blinded eyes and feel despondent. I hope your eyes are burning and your eyes are opened. During the Wednesday service, Senior Pastor once talked about the 300 warriors about Gideon. When Gideon, you know, gathered the soldiers, there were 32,000 soldiers gathered. Those who are afraid live. Then only 10,000 left. Only 10,000 were left. I mean, 22,000 left the field. But still, Father God said there were too many and inspired them to drink by the brook. And only 300 warriors were collected. Senior Pastor said this. He needs warriors who are truly inspired by God, who can truly understand the providence of Father God. He would need the workers by faith. They gotta be inspired by Father God, and they are the spiritual warriors who can win in the spiritual battles. Spiritual warriors are not warriors in your eyes. Spiritual warriors are the warriors that Father God recognizes. We are in the process of making those spiritual warriors. Senior Pastor sent us the congratulatory message on 37th anniversary. In his short message, we can feel his heart and faith. He wrote, "Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, congratulations on 37th anniversary. Thank you for protecting this church." Think about this. Thank you for protecting this church so far. This church is the church God Himself set up. And thank you for protecting this church. That's what Senior Pastor said. All this time that we overcome by faith will become beautiful memory in heaven forever. Senior Pastor wants to share this memory with you in heaven. I hope you will all become the fruits of New Jerusalem, and I will continue to pray for the day I will be with you. What he says is only New Jerusalem, New Jerusalem. Father God's providence for Manmin will surely be accomplished. Hallelujah. Senior Pastor is accomplishing justice in providence of Father God. He will accomplish the world evangelization, world mission, and the Grand Sanctuary for sure, because he is the most appropriate to accomplish this providence on this earth. Amen. Tonight, we looked into Jesus' two disciples who were going to Emmaus with the sermon title, Blinded Eyes and Opened Eyes. Through this message, I hope you will never go back. You should never be rebuked by the Lord. You should not hear you are foolish and slow. You got to hold on to the word and vision that Father God gave to us. You got to have burning heart. You got to have opened eyes. May you fill up your own justice for love, for prayer, and for faith. When the justice of the shepherd shines like the light of the noonday, may you partake his ministry in this end time and fully glorify God together with the shepherd. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local sanctuaries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and the internet all over the world, transcending space and time. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. All epidemic diseases such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis, and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes and the deaf come to hear and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby.
In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business, and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, "I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.